If you'd like to turn to it, Psalm 73 is tonight's text. Psalm 73. This psalm, as you'll hopefully see as we go through it, deals with the subject of complaining. If you were here 2 weeks ago on a Sunday evening, I introduced, because of a study in the book of Exodus, some introductory information on the subject of complaining. I said in that lesson that we want to explore this topic for an undetermined length of time. It may be 2 or 3 weeks, it may be a little longer than that. Tonight, as we think about the subject of complaining, I want to look at it from what I think is not only a biblical perspective, but also a perspective which is somewhat unique. We may not often refer to or show the damage that's done by complaining. But if you wanted to show that the Bible teaches complaining can inflict damage on someone, something as far as an organization, or a group of people, Psalm 73 would be a good place to turn to. We may not talk about it too often, but complaining, chronic complaining, can be very, very destructive. It can destroy a person's health, it can destroy a business, it can destroy a congregation, any organization. Several of the Old Testament Psalms, I think as most know, were authored by David. But not every psalm in the book of Psalms was authored by David. This psalm is one of those passages which was not authored by David. The fellow who is credited with authoring this material was a fellow known as Asaph. Now, we don't know a lot about Asaph. There are a few passages which refer to him. And as we look at those passages which talk about Asaph, it appears that he was a key figure, someone who was perhaps a leader in David's choir, perhaps composing music, and certainly credited with writing 11 psalms, one of which is Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, to give you a little bit of the picture that's going on here, Asaph must have been going through some difficult times. Because in Psalm 73, you have Asaph looking out into his world. And as he looks out into the world of his day, he begins to see several items, several things which frustrate him. As he looks out into his world, the people of his day, he knows how he's trying to live. He knows how other people who are Jews are trying to live. And yet, as he looks out into that vast world, he sees people who are wicked, evil, vile people. And as he looks out into the world and he sees these people, he sees the wicked prospering. Asaph sees bad things happening to the righteous are suffering, and he sees good things happening to the unsaved. What this man saw is in many ways the exact same things that we see today. And maybe if not now, there may be a time in our life, maybe there's been a time in the past, maybe a time will come in the future, where we have those same thoughts. We see the people who are trying to do what's right. We see the righteous, sometimes the innocent, people who have not yet reached the age of accountability, and they seem to be suffering. They seem to be crushed. They seem to be under oppression. And then we look at the people who are evil, vile, wicked, the filth of the world, if you will, and they seem to be doing so well. In the first verse, we do not find any complaining. If you were to read Psalm 73, verse 1, and I'm going to read several verses tonight, but not this one. In Psalm 73, verse 1, Asaph says, God is good. That's how the psalm begins. In the mind of this man, he says, God is good to those who have pure hearts. Everything this man was thinking about God, he said, it's good, it's righteous, it's pure, it's holy, it's wonderful. But then as you look at verse 2, in Psalm 73, Asaph, as he thinks about who and what God is, and he takes that information and he begins to compare that information with himself and other people, he begins to realize that man does not look all that great. Within the last week, and this is a thought that comes into my mind at various times because of people I interact with, but within the last week, a thought that crossed my mind was that that sometimes a person will say to me or say in my hearing, he was a good person, or I am a good person, or they are good people. Virtually every time someone says that to me, or in virtually every case where I read someone saying he was a good person, oftentimes because the individual has died, the very first thing that pops into my mind is, by whose standard? So-and-so was a good person, I'm a good person. By whose standard? By his standard? By her standard? By their standard? Then that may be true. Are you saying that individual was a good person, or that group of people were good people because of the world's standard? Well, if that's the case, then still that doesn't matter. Because the only standard that really matters is God's standard. And God says that we're not good. Only God is good. And Asaph recognizes that as we look at Psalm 73, verse 2. He does not see himself as good. As you look at that second verse, he says, as for me. God's good. He's righteous. He's holy. Psalm 73, verse 1. But as for me. And then after he gets past those words, he says, let me tell you what I'm like. He says, as for me, looking at life as a man, he said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. You may not be to this point in life. You may not ever be to this point in life. But you probably seem someone who has reached this point in life. As they look at their health, especially the lower section of their body, their knees fail. Their knees are not able to hold them up like they used to. Or you hear a person talk about their feet and how their feet no longer provide them the strength or the stability that they used to have. When we want to stand, we want to stand. When it comes to the lower half of our body, that trunk area, we want to be strong. We want our feet, we want our knees to support us. But it's possible to reach a time in life when they fail. Our knees may buckle. That's not a pleasant experience if you've ever had that. Maybe walking up or down steps, the knees just buckle. They give out like that. Or it may be that you're trying to stand on your feet and maybe it's a medicine that you're on or maybe something else and your feet are unsteady. Maybe there's weakness or illness and your body is so weak, maybe you've not eaten in several days, you've just had liquids, and you feel like you're ready to collapse. Compared to God, Psalm 73 verses 1 and 2, man is guilty of sin, and Asaph says that is like being someone who's very, very weak. Compared to God, he felt like he was someone whose steps had nearly slipped, verse 2. As you look at the latter part of that verse, the thought that comes to my mind as far as an illustration is ice. Now, we're really in the wrong time of year to be thinking about ice. But maybe in the winter months, you were at some point out there on the ice, and you were trying to walk across a parking lot, get to a car, get the newspaper, whatever it might have been. And as you're walking out across a patch of ice, you had one foot on the ground, and the other foot went out from under you. And you were flailing around a little bit, trying to get your balance, looking for something maybe to reach out and grab so that you would not fall. Being guilty of sin, as Asaph knew he was, Psalm 73, verse 2, and being exposed somehow to the presence of God, Asaph compares that to slipping on the ice. We're not prepared to meet God just like we're not prepared for that slippage on the ice. Coming before God would be like slipping on the ice. It is going to be a bad experience. We're going to get hurt. Asaph knew, as he is reflecting on some important matters, Psalm 73, he knew that he had some shortcomings. He realized that every single person guilty of sin also has some shortcomings. Now, if this psalm ended with Psalm 73, verse 2, we might not know what Asaph's faults were. But he says, I, as a man compared to God, am someone who has weak knees. I am someone who, compared to God, feels like I'm slipping on the ice. And then Asaph says, I'm going to get personal. I'm going to share with you some of my sins. I'm going to share with you that I was a complainer. And Asaph, he just goes through the psalm and says, let me share with you some of my complaints. If you turn to the psalm, let's read verse 3. He said, for I, this is what he was thinking. He said, for I was envious at the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Asaph said he looked around, looked out into his world. And as he looked around, he saw some people were proud. They weren't being punished for it. They weren't being brought down. They were not being humbled. And he said, as I looked at those people, he said, I envied them. The proud in his day were prosperous, and they were wicked. Asaph did not seek to live as a wicked man. In fact, we'll see that reflected a little later in this psalm. I was trying to live a righteous life. I did not want to be an evil man. I did not want to run from God. I was someone who wanted to love and serve and honor God, as we see from the 73rd psalm. But he said, as I'm trying to live my life for God, I looked out there in the world and here's what I saw. I saw some wicked, some vile people. As he looks around a little bit more, we find from Psalm 73, now reading verse 4 in just a moment. He said, the people that I saw who were not loving, honoring, and serving God, it looked like they were pretty much pain-free. They were healthy people. They weren't the sick. They weren't the diseased. They hadn't been cursed by God. Look at that fourth verse. He said, for there are no pangs in their death. But their strength is firm. They don't have any health problems. Even when it comes to something as serious as death, they just sort of breeze through the experience. They're not worried. They're not concerned. Everything about the life of the unsaved seems to be absolutely positive. They're getting along very, very well. In fact, if you were to, this is pulling from verse 5, what you read in just a moment, if you were to look at the problems the saved have compared to the unsaved, there's going to be a vast difference. The unsaved are getting off very, very easy. Look at that fifth verse. They are not in trouble, as are other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. These guys are doing great. Verse 6 says, the pride of these wicked, evil, vile people. He said the pride was so great they wore it like a necklace. Like a big gold chain. That was the level, that was the degree of pride they had. As we begin to go through these complaints, we find in the 73rd Psalm that this man was not just observing. He was doing some observing. But he was also involved with some complaining. He is living in a time, and it certainly was not limited to this period. We could point to almost any period. He was living in a time where he saw the righteous, the godly suffering, and the unjust prospering so well. In 6, the latter part of that verse, 6b, he said the unsaved, they're not only unrighteous, they're not only evil, they're not only filled with pride, they're not only strong and healthy, they don't fear death, but he said they're violent. They're violent. And yet they're still able to get away with that. Even that does not seem to matter when it comes to God. Psalm 73, verse 1. It seems like to this man that the evil people of his day, they can do whatever they want. Whatever they want. To whomever they want. And there is not a single person, there is not a single force in the world, God included, that's going to stop them. Verse 7. As we continue down through this psalm, introduces us to the wealth these people had. Their eyes stand out with fatness. Well, we probably wouldn't word it quite that way, but that's how the writer chose to word it. He says, they have more than their heart could wish. Now, sometimes, if we're going through the Psalms or Old Testament literature like this, I'll look at a paraphrase. And I happened to check a paraphrase this week, and the one that I checked called these people fat cats. Now, I'm not sure that that is a really good translation, but I do like that expression because it pretty well sums up who they were. These were the fat cats of the day. That's catchy. Asaph saw people who had money. And not just some money or a reasonable amount of money. These people had a lot of money. And they did not use it in a good way. This great wealth, along with the pride and everything else, it was accompanied by speech that was abusive. Let's see what we find now, a little bit later, verses 8 and 9, same psalm. They scoff. And in wickedness they utter oppression. They speak loftily. They have set their mouth in the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Imagine speech, which boasts against the heavens. It was as if these people talked like they were God. They didn't care who they challenged. They may have even blasphemed God. Imagine people talking in such a way where their words just seemed to strut around the earth. Boisterous speech, bragging, goes back to the pride. He saw people who were arrogant. He saw people who were haughty. He saw people who were evil, rich, and they had no regard for God. And as this man is looking around in his world and seeing these people, he can't contain himself. It's just bubbling up inside of him. And he writes the 73rd Psalm. Asaph says that things were so bad in his day and time, verse 10, that the righteous had to rush to the throne of God. They had to seek his throne for aid and shelter. God's enemies were prospering. But Asaph, the other people who were seeking to serve God, it felt like they were withering. And then as you get down to verse 12, we have here language which is simply too clear, too forceful to not immediately grasp the thought. He says these people are wicked. I'll just lay it out. And that's what he says. They're wicked. He says they are at ease. They don't care. They're just going through life. Everything seems to be always a blessing as far as what comes their way. And they are increased in riches. The implication is that there is absolutely nothing that's stopping them. They are on this road to prosperity. They are on this road to good health. And everything seems like it is always going to go well for them. And God certainly is not going to do anything. He's not doing anything. They're not getting any pushback. The righteous continue to be trodden down. I'll tell you one thing about this guy. He could complain, couldn't he? He could lay it on thick, fast, and heavy. He just comes out point after point after point. This man's complaining was so great that we have these words in the first part of verse 13. Surely, in vain, he says, have I cleansed my heart. This is how the wicked are living. And as I see what they're experiencing, as I see how easy their lives are, he said, look at me. I have cleansed my heart. I've become a child of God. I have lived in the right way, and it's all vain. It's all worthless. I serve God, and look at what I'm getting in return. It is all for waste. It is all for naught. Well, that man was someone who had cleansed his heart. He was someone who was involved with David, worked for David. He was someone who, as I noted earlier, is responsible, or is credited at least, with writing 11 of the Psalms. And he says, I've purged my heart. And then if you were to look at the end of that verse, he also talks about his hands, my life. I've tried to live a purified life. I've tried to live a clean life. I've tried to live a righteous life. He says, essentially, I am someone who has played by the rules, and after all the effort I put in to serve God, after I played by the rules, day after day, month after month, year after year, where has it got me? It seems like it has all been absolutely worthless, and the sinners, the people who have no regard for God, they're the ones who are getting the good deal. When filthy-hearted people seem to be blessed, and the pure in heart seem to be suffering, life can seem unfair. Like Asaph, we can wonder if it's all worth it. Have we really made the right choice? Verse 13 is a clear complaint. Let you know the text doesn't stop there. Asaph, he is really on this roll when it comes to complaining. So then we also find this in verse 14. He said, for all the day long I've been plagued. That's what happens to me. All day long I've been afflicted. And then he says, chastened every morning. This fellow claimed that every single day, when he got up, from the very time he got up in the morning, he said, pain and suffering didn't just come my way, but they were there for me when I got out of bed. When I came up, when I got out of bed, when I got up in the morning, he said, from sun up to sundown, I was hammered, and once again, the unrighteous seemed to be greatly blessed. Oftentimes, if we have a bad day, we think tomorrow will be better. If God allows us to live again, things can't be worse tomorrow than they were today. That wasn't how Asaph was feeling. He thought griefs and trouble were going to be renewed day by day. Complaint after complaint is found in this psalm. But after you work through all the complaints, if you keep reading, you find this little jewel in verse 15. This is about halfway through the psalm. And notice the word, which is probably going to be something like if. He said, If I had said, I will speak thus, that is, I'm going to take my complaints and I'm just going to tell everybody everything. He said, if I had done that, he said, behold, I would have dealt treacherously with the generation of thy children. Now, as you take that passage and you look at it in view of what's been said, here's the point. He said, these were some things that I had seen. These were some things that I had been feeling. But I used some self-control. Had I taken all my complaints, had I bottled up all my gripes and decided that I was going to go out and just spread that information all around, he said, I would have destroyed some people. I would have hurt the people of God. I would have damaged the faith of fellow Jews. Had I taken my laundry list of complaints and gone out and publicized them, he could have said, look at what's taking place in our world, and where's God? We believe in God. We claim to follow the all-powerful God, and yet people look with me at our world, see what's happening. There's a great lesson here. The lesson is a great lesson for individuals. It's also a great lesson for a local congregation and the entire brotherhood. Psalm 73 warns us quite forcefully that complainers, whether that is in a home environment, whether that is in a work environment, whether that is in a country such as ours or the church at large, it can be like a disease and destroy people. Now, somebody says, well, is complaining always wrong? No. There are some issues that need to be dealt with, and that's not the focus of tonight's lesson. We're looking, though, tonight at really what might be called chronic complainers. And I would suggest, based on what we see in Psalm 73, that any time we have someone who is a chronic complainer, that person is a toxic individual who has a highly destructive habit. Asaph understood the power of that. And because he understood the power, he said, I exercised some self-control. In fact, as you continue to read, looking ahead a little bit with verses 16 and 17, as all of these complaints are going through his mind, and they've just kind of been bottled up inside of him, bubbling forth, and he does write this psalm. But as he goes through and explains all this, he said, finally, I decided to go to the house of God. That, of course, would have been the temple in his day and time. When we want to whine and gripe and complain, probably the best thing for us to do is to turn to God, as this man did. And as Asaph begins to sort through these complaints and think about who God is and try to exercise some common sense and self-control, as you look at the remaining verses in this psalm, you find, amazingly, that he began to process his complaints in a brand new way. Early in the psalm, he says, the unrighteous, life is good for them. They're not hurt. They're not afflicted. They're not suffering. Everything is basically perfect in their lives. But he says, I've stepped back. I had the chance to rethink things.
I thought about God and how he's going to deal with the unrighteous. And here's what he says. In verse 18 of Psalm 73, I've given consideration to the unrighteous. And yes, they may have some good days, but he says, they're on a slippery path. It's not going to work out that well for them. That fun and fast lifestyle, he says, it's consumed with terrors, verse 19. It's not nearly as good as it may have first appeared. He said, but as I consider this information, as I looked at my own life, verse 21, he said, I became bitter. Based on what I was seeing in the world, I wasn't happy. I was pretty dissatisfied with God. He doesn't use the word angry, but when you see bitterness there, anger may not be far behind. And then he says this, once again, it is a very amazing text. He said in verse 22 of Psalm 73, he said, as I was thinking those things, he said, I was like a senseless animal. I was like a brute. I didn't give full, proper, true consideration to everything that was taking place. Oh, he'd been discouraged. Very discouraged, verse 26, because of all the things that he'd seen. But you know, in the midst of all that discouragement, he said, I've not lost faith in God. Rather than choose to complain about how God was running the world, as we look in the final verses of this psalm, here's what we have in verse 26. He says, my flesh and my heart faileth. There's bad news, he says, in the world. It does look like evil people are winning. But there's a contrast. God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Complaining is so easy to do. It is possible to excel at complaining. There are some people, they're just great at complaining. And our world, I will be the first to admit that our world gives us plenty of stuff to complain about in almost a nonstop way. As you look at Psalm 73, though, this passage is where it would go in the Bible to show that complaining can be a very, very damaging activity. It can demoralize people. It can demoralize a nation. It can demoralize a congregation. It can damage us individually and collectively. When we realize who God is, and that's what Asaph needed. He needed a good dose of that. When we realize who God is, he's in control, and what his plans are, it's a whole lot easier to complain less. God is in control, and he wants us to believe that. Do we? Do we really believe that? Do we believe that to the point where we've said, I've got faith, and I'm going to act on that faith? Repentance, confession, baptism, faithful Christian living every single day. And God, as I look at the world, not every day am I going to understand what's taking place, but you're in control, and I trust that you've got everything in hand. That's what we're called on to believe. And tonight, if that's not the course that you're pursuing, God still has room for you in his kingdom. You can become a Christian, or maybe you've become demoralized, like we have in Psalm 73 with Asaph. You become discouraged, despondent. God also says to you, I'm in control. I want you to come back. Be part of the family that I'm the head of. Tonight, can we help you write your relationship with God as a Christian or non-Christian? Those are the questions that we're asking as we stand and sing the selected song.